You can change your life by changing your mind. You can change your life by changing your mind. I want to go back and talk about something that I hope we've talked about before. I don't know that I've ever spent a whole sermon just talking about this aspect of it, but I usually include it in other sermons. But I want to go back and just talk about this specifically because I believe that Christians need to work on changing their life by changing their mind. And I believe one step in changing your mind is to meditate on Scripture. To meditate on Scripture. You've heard me say many times that there are five ways to study the Bible. You can hear it. You can read it. You can study it using the books and all that kind of stuff. You can memorize parts of it, and you can meditate on it. And I want you to notice in this illustration that meditation really goes with all of them. In other words, if I'm going to hold something, even if I just hear it, I've got to have that part in there, right? I can't hold it with just a little finger. I've got to have it, the meditation to go with it. So that means when you hear a sermon, you need to go home and meditate on the scriptures that was used in that sermon. You need to think about those scriptures. You need to rehash those scriptures, to go over those scriptures, to look them up. I used to, and for the last several times on this particular sermon series, I've given you the scriptures. But I'm very reluctant to do that. You know why? Because you don't look them up. And I think you need to look them up. I think you need to use your Bible and need to learn to use your Bible. And I realize it happens to me up front. When I get ready to look up a scripture, the book that was in there disappears. It just goes away. It was in there when I left home, but it's not in there now. I can't find it anywhere. And I realize that happens to all of us sometimes. And so we're a little bit embarrassed, so we just don't look them up at all. But we need to learn to use the Bible and to meditate on the Scriptures. So we talked about hearing it. We talked about reading it. We usually almost every year have some kind of Bible reading program that you need to read. And this year I try to give you four or five options, and people were upset because I gave them too much to do. And I didn't mean to give them too much to do. I mean to give them options. You can do this one or this one or this one. And you can study it when you actually sit down and use other books and try to figure out the meaning of the words and all that kind of stuff. You can memorize parts of it. I believe every Christian should memorize certain scriptures. But involved with all of them is, what is the thumb? Meditation. Meditation. And we live in such a fast-paced world that meditation is just a lost art. Nobody knows how to do that anymore. And every time I tell people you need to meditate on Scripture, I need to go back and emphasize, because the Eastern religions teach you need to meditate and empty your mind. So in Eastern religion, you meditate and end up with nothing up there. they're trying to get you to clear it out. Scripture meditation is entirely different. Scripture meditation is you look at a scripture verse, you look at a scripture passage, and you think about it. You think about, how does this apply to my life? How does it apply to the life of somebody else that I may know? How can I use this scripture in a practical way? And the primary thing we want to do in meditation is to get you to the place that you think God's thoughts after Him. That you think God's thoughts after Him. In other words, whatever is going on, whatever you face, whatever you read, or whatever you hear, your response is, what would God think about this? And if you've meditated on Scripture, you know what He would think about this. So you respond with a godly attitude because you have planted it up there. And it's not easy to do that. It is not easy to do that. It is difficult to do that. It is difficult. Want me to say it again? It is difficult. Let's just take a minute or two to talk about why you should do that, and then I'm going to try to show you one or two scriptures that and try to help you to say this is how we do this. The first reason you should meditate on scripture is it because it is God's word. It is God's word. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The Bible is God's word. And I think sometimes we in the church say that, we even believe that, but we don't practice that. I find myself, I have several study Bibles, and you know, in the study Bible, they got the scripture at the top and those notes at the bottom. And you read the scripture, and the first thing you do is go to the notes. You don't even look at what the scripture says. You just go to the notes and say, what do the notes say about it? The notes are not inspired, brother. The notes are not inspired. They could be wrong. And I'm not against the notes, so don't jump to conclusions. Don't jump to conclusion that I am against the study Bible. I'm not against the notes. I use them. But I think what we do is we want to find out, you know, I got commentaries, and a commentary is somebody else's comments on the Bible. And some question come up, instead of looking at the Scripture and wrestling with what does the Scripture actually say, I kind of skip over that step. Go directly to the commentary and say, what does the commentary say? So what I'm trying to get you to do, what I'm trying to get us to do, is to meditate on what Scripture actually says. This is God's Word. The notes at the bottom of the study Bible is not God's Word. The commentary is not God's Word. Lee's opinion is not God's Word. Lee's notes that he put out is not God's Word. This is God's Word. It is actually from God. It is what God wants us to know. It will lead us to salvation. It will tell us what to believe and what not to believe, what not to do and what to do. It will thoroughly equip us for how many good works? All good works. And so what we want to try to do is to change our mind where we think God's thought. And one a big step in doing that is to meditate on Scripture, to just spend some time thinking about a particular Scripture. So the first reason we should do it is because it is God's Word. The second reason we should do it is because the Bible commands us to do it. In Colossians 3:2, the Bible says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. What do you think mindset means? What if I had my mind set on things above and not on earth, what kind of things would I think about? Spiritual things, godly things. Now, what kind of things do we think about? Most of us work, so most of the time you're thinking about a work thing. Most of us involved in family, so we're thinking about family things. Most of us look at too much TV, so we're thinking about all that junk that comes through there. Many of us listen to all kinds of music, and we think about those things. The Bible says to set your mind on the things above. It is a command. If I break one of God's command, what do I call that? Sin. And the Bible says I need to set my mind on the things above. People say, well, you know, you're just so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I've heard that, haven't you? You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And I suppose that's possible. I think that's possible. But I think most of us are so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Most of us are so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Because our mindset is on all these things around here that's going to be gone one day. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we're looking at things on why you should meditate on Scripture. The first one was, it is God's Word. The second one is, it commands us to set our minds on heavenly things. The third one is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, hath, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So, the way you transform your life is by changing your mind. The way you transform your life is by changing your mind. So you want to become a different person. You want to become a more godly person. The way that happens is through here first. Now it is possible to have it here and never get it here. Remember that? It is possible to have it here and never get it here. It is impossible to get it here without first having it here. It is impossible to get it here without first having it here. It's got to go through your mind. So you transform your life. You transform your life by changing your mind, by renewing your mind, by putting godly thoughts in your mind. And one of the great ways to do that is to meditate, is to think about Scripture. It is not easy. It does not come naturally. It is not something you would just sit around thinking about things to do and you just, well, I think I'll do this for a little while. It's just not one of those things. You have to intentionally on purpose say, I am going to meditate on Scripture. I'm not just going to read it. I'm not just going to listen to it. I am going to think about it. I'm going to spend my time going over it and asking questions about it. What does it mean? How does this apply practically? What difference does it make in my life? What difference does this Scripture make in my life? Another reason why you should meditate on Scripture is because it will lead to success. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. How often was he to meditate on it? How often? Day and night. What was to be the result of him meditating on it? What was to be the result? He was going to obey it, right? Didn't it say that? So that you may obey it? And then when you obey it, then the result is success and prosperity. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. If we have time, we're going to come back and look at that a little bit more in a minute. The next reason is almost the same thing. I used a different word, success for the first one and prosperity for the second one. But Psalms chapter 1, one of the most beloved books in the entire Bible, starts out by talking about meditating on Scripture. The second verse. Psalms chapter 1. The very first chapter of the book of Psalms says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Some of you said, Lee, why'd you look that one up? Because I forgot it. I have it memorized, but it wouldn't come. And but I want you to notice what he says not to do. Verse 1, somebody tells me, what am I supposed not to do? I'm not to listen at the counsel of the wicked or the sinners or the scoffers. Right? Even among Christians, if we have emotional problems, almost without exception, we go to psychiatrists and psychologists who are unbelievers. Now, there are times we need to go to psychiatrists and psychologists. I'm not against them. I just think that if they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and don't believe the Bible is God's Word, then I need to find somebody else to get my advice from. And I base that on this passage. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Instead of doing that, what am I supposed to do? Verse 2. What am I supposed to do? Delight in the law of the Lord and in His law. He meditates how often? Day and night. Meditates day and night. Think about it. Run it over again and again and again and again. If you can't sleep at night, you need to go over your memory verses. For some of you, it wouldn't take you long. But you need to review the things that God says. You need to meditate on them day and night. It is difficult to do that. All the world is clamoring for your attention. All the world is clamoring for your attention. The advertisers want your attention. The TV wants your attention. The radio wants your attention. Your children want your attention. Your parents want your attention. Your friends want your attention. Everybody wants your attention. All the time. Some way, somehow, you need to find a way to get away from all that and to meditate on God's Word. Just to think about what God says. Just to think about it. Now, It is not enough just to think about it, but that's a step in the process of becoming the person that God wants you to be. Meditate on it day and night. As a result, what's the result if I do that according to Psalm 1? What's the result? Okay, prosperity. I'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water. Told that story enough that you ought to know what that means. What's the difference in a tree planted by streams of water and a tree planted anywhere else? Okay, yeah. When there's good times, there's no difference. Right? When there's a lot of rain and all that, there's no difference. The ones planted the farthest away from the streams of water produces just like the one planted nearby. What happens when it becomes very dry and there's not much rain? Then the ones planted close by the streams of water, roots can draw moisture from that water, that river, and continue to produce. Look at the passage. Think about the passage. That's what you do when you meditate. Look at it and think about it. You just kind of sit down and say, okay, we're talking about a tree. And we're talking about a tree that can prosper even in the time of difficulty. How do I do that? What does that mean? What is the connection? In the passage, what is the connection? The connection is the person who meditates on Scripture day and night is like the tree planted close by the streams of water. Right? Right? Okay. Thought that I all went to sleep there for a minute. I need to meditate on the Scripture a long time before I really need them. I need to plant them up there a long time before I need them. If I get in the bind, if the drought comes and I realize I'm not close to the stream of water, it's probably too late. So I need to meditate on Scripture as preventative medicine. Does that make sense? In other words, I need to be wrestling with the Scripture and planning the Scriptures and thinking God's thoughts after God and responding to things the way God wants me to respond before I get in trouble. Because most of the time, after I get in trouble, the Scriptures make me mad instead of help me. They irritate me instead of comfort me. If you don't believe that, you have difficulties. If you've never meditated on Romans 8:28, somebody tell me what it says. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If you've wrestled with that and you've meditated on that and you've spent time with that, and that's a part of your thought process, that's a part of your life, you've changed your mind, you've changed your life by meditating on that Scripture over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You've thought about different possibilities and talk about that Scripture still works in these possibilities. If you've done that when things bad happen in your life, then that's a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. If you've never done that, if you've never lived with that verse, if that verse has not become a part of your life, something bad happens in your life, somebody comes and quotes that Scripture, it will make you mad as fire. Immediately. What do you mean by saying this is good? This is not good. This is bad. Because you have not spent time making that verse a part of your life. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. There's so many Scriptures that you need to find the one that applies to your life, to the things that you are going through, to the difficulties you are having, and find a Scripture to fit it. And meditate on that Scripture. There are so many that I want to share with you. Let's look at Galatians 5:13. You'll have to look it up in your Bible. Sorry, I didn't write this one down. Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you are called to freedom, brethren. You're free in Christ. You were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So I am free in Christ. I've been made free from the law. I've been made free from sin. I've been made free from the bondage of the law. I am no longer under the Mosaic law. I am no longer limited and restricted by all that stuff. I am free in Christ. As a result, I ought to use that freedom not to sin, but to do what? Serve. Right? Not to sin, but to serve. And so I need to spend some time with that verse and think about that verse and say, I need to make sure I don't use my freedom in Christ as an opportunity to fulfill the lust of my flesh. I need to make sure I use that freedom in Christ to serve other people. So I need to spend time with that verse. Suppose I'm having trouble being in love with money. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Billy, you need to look at verses 6 through 10. Let's just read all those verses. "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either." Isn't that a true statement? I came broke, I'm going to leave broke. Doesn't make any difference how much I have in the middle, I'm going to leave broke. You know, it's like the old preacher joke when somebody said, the millionaire's hand died, and somebody said, "Well, how much did he leave? How much did he leave?" He left it all. You know? And you can almost add another sentence, his kids are going to fight over it. But anyway. "For we brought nothing into the world, so we're not taking anything out of it. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." If we have the necessities of life, we should be content. Was it last week, a week before, we talked about how difficult contentment is. It is hard to be content. "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." for the love of money, not money, but what? The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by long and pit have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, I want you to meditate for 2 seconds on that verse, just verse 10. I want you to think about and ask questions about. Let's ask questions like, can a poor man love money like a rich man loves money? Can a upstanding man love money like a bum loves money? Maybe even more so, right? Can an old man love money just like a young man? What if I love money, what happens in my life? According to the text, now not your idea, but according to the text, what happens in my life if I love money? All sorts of evils, right? If I love money, all sorts of bad things happen in my life. Now, again, I want to emphasize, you need to think about this, it is not money. Money is neutral. Money is neither good nor bad. What's the bad part according to this text? The love of money. Okay? Some by longing for it. What? Longing for it. What is it? Have done what? Wandered away from the faith. What is the faith? What does that mean? My Christian doctrine, my Christian position, my Christian life. So there are people who fell in love with money instead of being in love with God. They fell in love with money and they sought after the money. And what happened to them? They drifted away from God. Now, was that money's fault? No, there's nothing wrong with money. But there's something wrong with loving money. They have pierced themselves with many griefs. What do your translations say? Say it again. There are many bad things happen as a result of our love of money. Not as a result of money, but as a result of our love of money. Yeah. See, what I want you to do is to just find the scriptures that apply to you and meditate on them. Wrestle with them. Look at that scripture and take it apart. Make sure that you got everything in there. Just think about what it's saying. Think about what it's saying. Suppose some of you men have trouble with lust. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 27, 28. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Where did he get that from? That's the Old Testament. That's one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you read this whole passage, this whole paragraph here, you realize that Jesus is saying, what I'm concerned about is your heart. Because if I can get your heart right, I don't have to worry about the outside activities. If I can get your heart right, the outside activities will take care of themselves. But if you lust after somebody in your heart, what does Jesus say that is? What does Jesus say that is? That's adultery. Now, I want to tell you, almost every man I know has a problem with that. Don't know about women, but I'm pretty sure it's more of a problem for men than women. Sometimes the women want to catch up with the men. When they catch up, they found out they went the wrong way. They got worse instead of better. But it is more because men are creatures of sight, where women are creatures of words. So lusting after a woman is more of a problem for a man. And what I need to do is to wrestle with this scripture, meditate on this scripture, make it a part of my life that's wrong. And when I catch myself doing that, I need to divert my attention. There's something else. And I have control of my mind. I can do that. That's what I need to do. You look up the scripture that deals with the problems you are facing. Spend time with it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Wrestle with it. Go over it. Ask questions about it. Look at it again tomorrow, and look at it again the next day, and look at it again the next day. And you can use almost any scripture. You see, you never finish anyway. Right? You never finish anyway. So it's not like I'm going to get through with all this. I'm going to know all I need to know. So it doesn't make a lot of difference where you start. The best place to start is something you're having a problem with. Find a scripture that deals with that and meditate on that scripture. I personally have found that it is easier, it works better if I can do it, find a positive scripture as opposed to a negative scripture. You know, the scripture that says, set my mind on heavenly things rather than earthly things, that scripture seems to work better for me than to say a person who lusts after a woman has committed adultery. Because I have a tendency to say, then don't lust, and then I say, don't lust, and that makes you think about lusting, and so it gets worse. So, but if I set my mind on heavenly things, I know for sure lusting after another woman is not heavenly. Lusting after my wife may be heavenly, that's great, there's not a problem there, but lusting after another woman is sinful. So I set my mind on heavenly things. The money situation, I believe with all of my heart that if I... Can you think of a verse? Instead of the verse, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. What kind of verse would you use if I wanted to go to a positive verse? I mean, tithing, okay. That'll teach you not to love it. But the one I thought about was Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Give me the rest of it. Now all these things, you know what these things are? Materialistic things. If I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to me. And so I need to wrestle with that scripture and go over that scripture and think about that scripture. I need to meditate on scripture. Now, I've probably said this in the years I've been here a million times. I don't know if I ever preached one sermon just on scripture meditation before. I believe that we can change our life by changing our mind. And I believe a part of that process to change your mind is to meditate on God's Word. To think about God's Word. To just spend time with it. And I can take one verse, just one verse, and spend a whole week with it. Just write it on a card and put it on my visor where I have something to look at when I'm sitting at the red light. See, I can't do that when I'm sitting at the red light because it may turn green. Don't worry about it. The person behind me will let you know. Right? You don't have to worry about it. He'll blow the horn. So to let you know that light has changed. Put it on it when you used to say put it on the curtains while you're washing dishes, but we don't wash dishes anymore. We put it in the dishwasher. Put it on the stand by your TV. And instead of running around the dial like I do when they're advertising, think about that verse. Because when you're running around the dial like I do, you get in trouble with your wife. She gets mad because when we get back to where we were, we done missed a major part of what was going on. And so, just let it stay on advertising and meditate on that scripture you done wrote down. Think about it. When you go into bed at night, just go over and over in your mind. This is what it says. Meditate on scripture. And the purpose is to bring obedience, and obedience will bring blessing. Spend time with God's Word. You can change your life by changing your mind.